Yes.
I'm sorry. Even if I can just say it, don't have to be too tall. I'd like to just not have to have it in my hand all the time.
It's all right.
I'll be good. Thank you, though. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. It really is good to see everybody. Some of y'all I've seen previous weeks. Some of y'all I haven't seen in a while. And it's good to see everybody. It really is. I beg an interest in your prayers this morning. I've had a lot of thoughts on my head. I have a lot of different things on my mind. And I pray, and I ask you to pray, that the good Lord would just maybe bless us for a little bit of time here. I don't know how much time. Like I said, I do have some things on my head, some things that I would like to talk about that go with what Brother Daddy's already talked about a little bit this morning. But I beg an interest in your prayers right now, and just ask that you pray for me while I try to put these words together, and hopefully the good Lord will bless it one way or another. The first thing I want to say this morning is that I want to let you know a little bit what I believe. I believe that our eternal salvation is secure through the blood of Christ Jesus, and that no amount of preaching, no words that are said in here by me or Brother Daddy or by anybody else will effectually secure your home in heaven. That is an act that is done by the good Lord in heaven that was done before the foundation of the world. Before we go to Romans 8:29, stick your finger there. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse you're all familiar with. And you hath ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You were dead. This is kind of a Primitive Baptist 101 real quick. This is not where I wanted to start, but it's where I feel like maybe I need to start. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. That means that's God's work of salvation in you. So I'm not here to call you to heaven or to save your soul. I'm here because God has called you here, and I got some things I want to tell you about. And the words I'm going to tell you about come out of this book. And this book that I'm talking about isn't just any old book. It's the book. I believe it's the Word of God that was started a long time ago when the world began, and God inspired men to write it in its perfectness and completion. And it is what we go by. In the Army, we had a handbook. It was a little old thick book. It was about that big, but it was the book. And it was everything that we needed to know, from how to get up and make your bed to how to go to bed at night and where to put your stuff. That book pales in comparison to this book, because this is a book for your life, your walk, your talk, your everyday. This is the book. And I didn't say this. The book says this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect means complete. That means you've got what you need to know to not just hear on Sunday, but to take with you on Monday. Because there's blessings in obedience. Where does the obedience come from? The obedience comes from the Word. The Word is here. Now, that I've said all that, I want to say this. We live in a really nasty, cruel, evil world. And the world that we're living in today is bad. And what we've seen and experienced this week is Satan working firsthand. That is the devil running to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And it hits your heart. Right? I mean, it hurts. It hurts. Like Brother Daddy was talking about, you can feel the despair. I mean, he heard it from me. We were together earlier this week, thank the Lord. And boy, he's blessed our relationship, I believe, from a spiritual perspective. And we're having spiritual conversations going up the road. I'm not just sitting there complaining to him about how horrible my life is. Because that's typically what I put him through for about the past 7 years. But that's not what I want to talk about either. What I want to talk about is we're going up the road and I'm in despair. Because that was awful. My kids talk about it. My kids called me. You know, we work so hard to shelter our kids. I see those little babies back there, right? You don't want them to see those kind of things. You don't want them to flip it. You don't want to flip the TV on, see them, right? So we can despair. But I will tell you, we should not despair. And here's what I want to talk about this morning. And we talk about the Bible, right? And we think about just the New Testament. Oh, it's the New Testament. Those old times, they don't apply. I will tell you, they do apply, and here's why. Because God has been putting kings and leaders in position for a long time. Daniel, let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. Now, there's some parts of Daniel I haven't gotten into, but I will tell you that the parts of Daniel that I have gotten into, I encourage you wholeheartedly to get over in the book of Daniel and read. I'm serious. Get over and read. I'm not lying to you. Daniel, I believe here. I thought I had it marked, but maybe I don't. Lord bless me. Lord help me. Anyway, I will find it here in a minute. But what I'm saying is, and I believe if you pursue the scriptures and you read the scriptures, you will see that God has been putting kings in places for a long time. He's delivered kings. He's removed kings. There's several scriptures through there. And if I can find it, I know it's in Daniel here somewhere, but I've been in Daniel a lot, so it could be anywhere from 1 through 6 right now. And that's just what I tell you. But talking about these days and these times, right, and these things, we should not be discouraged. Because I will tell you this, I do have this one. It kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about. Romans 13, chapter 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Meaning, what is our job? What is our role? Our role is to be subject unto the higher powers. Why? Because God has put them there. And He doesn't always put there who we think ought to be there. Go back and look at the old kings. I will tell you, there's Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel. Sorry, I'm flipping. You might want to stick your fingers there because I probably won't go too far anywhere else. And Daddy, I'm sorry if I'm talking so much, but I got to get this off. If you look at Daniel chapter 1, it says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon unto Jerusalem and besieged it." That wasn't just happenstance. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was a bad king. He was not a good guy. Go look him up. But he was the king of Judah. But here came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. Read Daniel 5. Which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, you would think that maybe Nebuchadnezzar was disposed of, or Jehoiakim would have been disposed of right there. But Jehoiakim was not disposed of right there. He was put in reign over Judah and told the Judah folks in Judah, y'all going to pay taxes to Nebuchadnezzar. So we think we have it bad sometimes. But now you got Nebuchadnezzar, who's the boss, but Jehoiakim is underneath him, and the people of Israel are underneath both of them. And the word is, be subject unto the higher powers, because God's put them in place to keep you under subjection. Because there is no higher power than God. God moves those men. God puts those men in place. So we should not despair. We should not despair. And I will tell you the sin that's the condemnation of the devil, which one sin is not worse than the other sin in the eyes of the Lord, sin is sin. But pride. Pride, dear brothers and sisters, is where we need to be aware of. Because the earth tells you every day, be proud. Be proud. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. How many times do you feel bad about something and you go seek advice in the world, and what's the answer you get? Love yourself. You just got to love yourself, man. Love yourself. That's the world's answer. And that's the world telling you it's right. There's good people out here believing that. There's God's little children out here right now Googling how to make myself feel better. And the first thing that comes up is somebody telling them how to love themselves. Because that's what the world's teaching. And the prince of the power of the air loves it. Because that is his condemnation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, in regards to the office of a bishop, verse 6, it says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That was why the devil was removed from heaven. Because he thought himself higher than God. Or at least equal to. How close can we get with pride? But here's what God tells us to do. And I'll close with this verse, because this is what we are to remember when we start thinking. This is Jesus, the words of Jesus. And I'll close with this. This is Matthew chapter 22. When Jesus was being tempted of the Pharisees, after he'd already had to deal with the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. And I won't use Dad's words there, but it's a good one. But I'll close here. It says verse 36, Master, which is a great commandment in the law. Remember that love thyself concept the world has here. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Didn't tell us we're not supposed to love ourselves. We're just not supposed to love ourselves first. You can't properly love anything unless you're loving Christ first. And Christ is loving you back and showing how it goes. And then the second thing is we're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to treat each other a little bit better. We're supposed to be a little bit kinder. We should check in a little bit more. We should think before we act.
we should treat our neighbor as ourselves. And yes, we should love ourselves. But we got to get the order right.
I'm sorry I took so much time, Daddy. I didn't leave you much, but we don't have to quit at 12. So if I've said anything, give the glory and honor to the Lord. Thank y'all. God bless you. Pray for me.
Enjoyed this morning very, very much. Thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings that He has supplied to us in so many wonderful ways. Do need your prayers as I stand before you and appreciate the thoughts. And Lord, help us to not be discouraged, but to be encouraged by the wonderful God that we have, the mighty Lord that we serve, the one that we look to for all good things. I have a bunch of scriptures on my mind this morning, and I don't want to take a lot of time. I kind of laid a lot of things that were on my heart already out before you, before I ever came to you. Before I ever got into the stand this morning, and Brother Jimmy has covered some of those things as well. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And this probably is not a text, but it may be. So pray that the Lord will just guide us here. I'm gonna begin at verse 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." In a nutshell, this is talking about the perilous times in which we're living today and the temptations and troubles and problems that God's little children face here in this world. We are under attack. The Lord's people are under attack. Those that will hold the truth are under attack. We're not in a friendly world. We're in the battleground. It's a fight. When the Bible says fight the good fight of faith, it's really talking about a fight. And we're in a warfare. Amen. And we're in a wrestling match. And it's a long battle. It's a long fight. It's not going to be a quick one and done kind of thing. It's a battle every day. And He's telling us here that we can expect that in your lives. That don't get the idea and the thought that this is something unusual, something unexpected, but it's that which God's little children have been going on from this time of this writing all the way down through the many years until this very hour and for this very moment. And He says, even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. If you remember the miracles that were done, that the Lord blessed the children of Israel to see in order to let them know that it was, and to let Pharaoh know that the Lord was going to deliver His people out of Egypt. And Moses was blessed to perform some miracles, and those signs and those evidences were given to confirm that God was going to take care of the children of Israel and deliver them from the land of Egypt. And then you had those magicians, the Pharaoh's magicians, that matched the things that Moses did up to a point. But they couldn't do all that Moses was able to do because they were not empowered by God. They were empowered by their magic. And their master was not as strong and mighty and powerful as the Moses' master, who was the Lord God of heaven. And so the things that they thought they could do and replicate, they could do in part, but they could only do it part of the way. The powers that we see around us, don't get overwhelmed by them, because though they seem to be powerful, they're not as mighty as our God. We have a God who is going to be with us in the midst of the storms and in the battles. And as he says, "And as Jambres and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Their men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Did the children of Israel get out of the land of Egypt? Absolutely. The Lord delivered them. When it came time that they got to the Red Sea and they thought everything was gone now at this point. We've been delivered up to this point, but there's no hope for us. Moses cries out, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And the Lord says, "Go forward." In other words, you step out. You step out into the Red Sea. And when they did, the waters rolled back and stood up on each side, and they went across dry shod. I believe a dust cloud came out from the middle of that river as they walked through that land. I believe the Lord took care of that. Listen, the God of yesterday, we sing it all the time. He's what? He's just the same today. The God of Pentecost is just the same today. The God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same today. We have that same mighty God that can deliver us out of a fiery furnace. Amen. Through ever what we're going through. So let's be steadfast. Yeah. Let's be unmovable. Let's be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." What the Apostle Paul is saying is, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been lifted up and I am made an ambassador of Christ. And thou hast seen how I have lived and how I have walked. And what the strength of the Apostle Paul was in, that he was following the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? He didn't say, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And the ministers that stand before you, you follow them as they follow Christ, as they preach Christ, as they teach Christ, as they practice what the Lord has put in their heart for them to practice, and they live. He says, "You've seen my manner of life, you've heard my doctrine." The doctrine we heard this morning is that salvation is by the grace of Almighty God. That God in covenant before the foundation of the world knew his people, and he sent Jesus to die for them. Jesus has come and died for them and paid the price for them and has secured our home in heaven. And one day we're going to be with the Lord. There won't be one of his little children that do not have the deliverance that comes because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he's telling us to take up our cross and live our lives trusting and leaning and depending upon him. And the promise is, just like this hymn we sing, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. He did for the Apostle Paul. He has for this little church down through the many years that I've been here, and before I ever got here, the Lord has been moving and taking care of things, and he's still on his throne, and we can still lean and trust upon him. Now, we don't want to fall into the mistake of thinking he causes everything, because he's not the author of sin. He's not the author of evil. And yet he overrules so many times sin to bring about his will and his purposes. He didn't make Nebuchadnezzar evil, but he sure put him in a position where he could chase him, the Lord's people, with that king. And when it came time to remove him, the Lord didn't have any trouble doing that either. And that's the God we have to look to today. That should give us strength and encouragement. He says, "Known my manner of life, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, how I've lived before you, my purpose." What was the Apostle Paul's purpose? To preach Jesus. That's what he wanted to do. His desire was to preach Jesus Christ. That's what his concern was. He said, "I'll have known nothing before you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That didn't mean he preached the same thing every time, but it meant wherever he went into the Bible and wherever he brought out that truth, it was always Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if you feel like you're hearing the same thing over and over again, we need to hear over and over again. Not just the same exact same thing over and over, but the same basic truth comes from every gospel sermon that's correct. And that is that Jesus saved his people from their sins. He says, "You've seen my faith that was given to him by God, his long suffering. You've seen him, his love, his charity, his love for them, his patience with them. They saw his persecutions, his afflictions, and what came to him." He says at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, "But what persecutions I endured." And I love this part of the verse. You know, Paul kept getting beat up. You know, they beat him up in one city, he'd get up and go right back into the next city. They'd leave him for dead, and he'd go right back in. He'd go right back. And they told him, you know, he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem." And they warned him, "There's nothing waiting you but there at Jerusalem but suffering and persecution." He says, "I'm going because I'm persuaded this is what the Lord would have me to do." So what are we to do? We just keep pressing on. Keep preaching, keep teaching, keep living, keep praising the Lord. Don't back up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share your faith. Don't be afraid to share with others what you believe. You say, "Well, somebody might make fun of me. Somebody might even take my life for it." Yeah. The Apostle Paul said, "If that be the case, so let it be." He says, "You've known this." He showed that. And the reason the Apostle Paul did that wasn't because he was so much in himself. It was what the Lord had made him. And the reason we'll be able to do what the Lord would have us to do is because of what the Lord has made us able in him to do. He says, "I endured, but out of them all," get this, "these things I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Okay, we can say that. God has been so good to me. I want to praise his name. And then verse 12, this is my text. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I love the shalls of the Bible. This one is a little more difficult for us sometimes because we don't want this as much as it is. But this is the way it's going to be. What did he say? He said, "Man that's born of woman is what? A few days and full of trouble." You're going to have that. He said, "In this world ye shall have" what? "Tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in me, I come that in me ye might have peace." And that is what 2 Corinthians 5, where my text was kind of this morning, is all about. The peace and the reconciliation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So when someone asks you the question, "Do you think things are going to get worse?" We can unequivocally answer that question with the word of God. Things shall, he says, "but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, does that mean everybody's going to get worse? No. It means that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. They're going to be deceiving and being deceived. And then here's a but, sister. here's another one of those B-U-T's, buts. This is what's going on. This is where we could get discouraged. But he says, but, and there was the first one was in verse 13, the second one's in verse 14. He says, "But continue thou." That means what should we do? We keep pressing on. "Continue thou in" what? "In the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." You know what those things are? Found right here in the pages of this book. that the Holy Spirit is put in your heart, that the Word of God is put in print. And when we come with the Holy Spirit into the Word of God, we take these words and we, and I'm gonna have to get this verse real quick. Sound like my son. 15:15. Jeremiah 15:15-16. He says, O Lord, thou knowest me. Jeremiah had gotten discouraged. And he's praying unto God. And he's gotten discouraged with preaching to people that wouldn't hear him. And declaring a message to people that wouldn't have it. Even though God said, you're going to preach to them and they're going to hear you. He'd gotten brokenhearted and discouraged about it. He says, O Lord, thou knowest. Isn't that good? God knows today everything that's going on. He says, remember me. Oh, I need him to remember me. And visit me. I need him to be with me, don't you? And revenge me of my persecutors. In other words, Lord, I can't take care of them, but you can take care of them. Lord, I turn it over into thy hands. He says, take me not away in thy long suffering. In other words, don't let me die, dear Lord, because of thy grace and thy mercy. Take care of me. Know that for thy sake I have suffered trouble. And I want to get verse 16. He says, thy words were found. Oh, I hope you found some of his words today. But notice, don't just find them. He says, thy words were found and I did eat them. That's pretty close with the word, isn't it? When you eat it. So yeah, I went to church today. What did you do? I ate some of his words. Somebody will look at you and think, I think you're beside yourself. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, it's to God.
Amen.
I hope you get beside yourself with the word of God. Yeah. He says, I didn't just look at them and taste them. I ate them. That means I meditated upon them. I chewed my cud. I kept them in my mind and in my mouth. I ate them. They became part of me. I consumed them. He says, I ate them. And thy word was what? It'll help you today. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I tell you, when you hear a little bit about Jesus, he can't help you but make you happy. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. One day he's going to carry me home. What a glorious day that'll be. And until that time, he'll come in the midnight hour and help us in this old troubled world. He'll come walking on the water or calming the sea, whichever way he decides to do it. He's able to do it either way. He's the master of the ocean and the earth and the skies. He's the one who made all this world and all that therein is. So whether we're old or whether we're young, we have a Savior we can look to and lean upon who has promised to always be there. What a friend. Right, brother? What a friend we have in Jesus. So take his words and eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name. That means you are his. You belong to him. He died for you. He says, O Lord God of hosts. Who is our God? The God of hosts. Back over to 2 Timothy real quick. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers are wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who is it that we learned it from? It wasn't just the Apostle Paul, though I'm glad for Paul, aren't you? A lot of people don't like Paul. Paul was plain spoken. He told families how to operate. He told men how to be men and women how to be men, women. And he told us how to operate and function in our lives. And there's a lot of people that didn't like what Apostle Paul said. But you know what Paul said? He said what Jesus taught him. And what Jesus taught him is what we need to live by. And the reason we have a world that's in a mess is because we've ignored many of the things that were laid down by the Apostle Paul in Holy Writ.
Yes, sir.
And I don't just say them, I say me.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying you so much, but I know with me. But if it applies to you, I'm saying you. And if we take what the Word of God says and we live by it, and we eat it, and it becomes a part of us, we'll be able to withstand the Janices and Jambreses of this world that would come and try to lead you down another path. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. That's eating it, right? In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, that's labor. labor without being yoked. You're yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's carrying the load. It's not in vain in the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, brother.